If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome to Holla Chat. Today, Rachel and Bobby bring you State of the Fandom, a mini episode in which they discuss the latest happenings in Teeny Town, about which they have big feelings. Hope you enjoy.
Welcome to another State of the Fandom. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Bobby.
And today we are talking about KQ's very good PR day.
Right.
A couple of days, but
yes.
We're going to count it all as one.
It was close enough to 24 hours to count as one day in our heart.
Neither of these things have really made a lot of buzz online, but they are very important to us as KQ stans and people who are watching what they're doing to make sure that they are in fact doing a good job.
The first article that came out was the GQ article, which I do believe did make a lot of buzz for the visuals that came along with it.
Yes.
Because they do look just really fantastic. A lot of fun fashion moments. Everybody, they all just look really, really great. I also love the colors that they did. But the thing that stood out to us, the KQ company stands, is towards the end, the interviewer is discussing, or the journalist, thank you so much. The journalist says maybe a member wants to go solo or another wants to jump to a different agency, where I would like to point out, you know, a lot of ATs have hoped that ATs would leave KQ. I think they have this idea that KQ is holding them back. I think they have this idea that if ATs leave KQ, they're going to go to like a big agency.
Right.
And like, name one single time that has happened. Has that ever happened?
Yeah. I would say that ATs aren't wrong, that if ATs had debuted under SM, then they would have had an easier road.
But I would argue ATs never would have debuted under any of the other companies, specifically because every company has a sound.
Yeah.
Every single company. And you can even hear it sort of developing with KQ as well. But every company, and I'm not talking about the songs themselves, I'm talking about the vocalist that they seem to favor. If you listen to a JYP group, there is a JYP vocal sound that they prefer. If you listen to HYBE, HYBE really seems to prefer groups that have very, like, a similar vocal style. Like, when I listen to TXT, the thing that strikes me the most is that it really sounds like the same person singing. And I know that any MOA would be like, how dare you? But that's just me as a person who...
As a casual listener.
I'm a casual listener. I don't even know all of their names. And I feel like the same way with Enhypen too, where these voices all just sound very, very similar. They mesh. Like, they mesh really well. And I think that is a strategy. But that's clearly not a strategy that KQ has gone with. And I don't think there is any other agency that would have put together ATs as a group. Even if they had them all as trainees, I think they would have had a different vision. But I understand that what ATs are saying is that, you know, if they had big company budget, they would have gone so much farther. And yeah, that's what we've been saying this whole time, that, you know, it's the small company thing. And that's why we're so proud of them all the time for every little thing.
This is the same thing you said, but like in a different way. Like, I don't, even if they had all debuted, like even if they had all debuted from SM as this group, I don't think they would have developed into this group, because part of ATEEZ's strength, and I think they have talked about this, so this is not me reaching, like when they performed in their very first performances, they had the attitude that this might be my last performance. Mm-hmm. And I think that developed them into the performers that they are. And so if you had them at a different group or a different company where they didn't have that attitude, I don't know that they would be the same group that they are, even if it was all the same boys.
I mean, I agree with that. The life that you've lived is what makes you who you are, the choices that that you've made and the circumstances that you've been in all contribute to your personhood. But I do recognize that what 18s are saying is that if they just had way more money and way more influence, they would be way more popular. And yeah, we know. Like, this is what we've all been saying. And I really don't think if they did ever leave KQ, they're not going to be going to some bigger, better agency.
That's not normally how it works.
Right. I mean, unless they do, like, what B2B or Zico from Block B going and making his own company. I mean, maybe they would do that. But I also don't know that any of them seem all that interested in, like, the management side of running a K-pop company.
They're all still pretty young, so that could be something they aspire to in the future. I could see some of them wanting to be mentors in that way, but they're still young and performing.
So. Right. But what Hanjoon says in this article, he says it's so easy for us. It's not a sensitive topic. He says, all eight members have had the same dream up until now. We want to do more things, but 1 or 2 years more is not enough. We already talked about many things regarding our future. I can't talk in detail about the contract, but we always talk about how our company treats and manages us very well. We don't have any doubts in this situation. So there are two things that I'm getting from this. First of all, it seems very clear that come what may, they do want to stay together.
Mm-hmm.
I think that typically with K-pop contracts, that after the first like 7 years or so, they start doing them in 2-year increments instead of the 7 years. So I think that's why he talks specifically, you know, 1 or 2 years more is not enough. So I think he's saying, you know, so sorry, solo stans. It's not working out for you this time. So they're planning to stay together come what may. And I think the other thing that we get from this is that it does seem that they do plan to re-sign with KQ, at least for this next go, because he does specifically talk about how we're very happy with the company. And isn't that interesting?
I wish that some 18s would take a step back from wanting 18s to be the biggest thing in the world. Like, I too want so much for them. I want them to be this huge group that everyone knows, everyone listens to, because I think their artistry deserves that. But like, taking a step back from that, if you look at how they are actually managed on the day-to-day, like, they are given a lot of autonomy in how they dress, in what they eat, in where they go, what they do, what projects they take on, which makes for a happy artist. I understand you want them to blow up on TikTok, but you wanting them to blow up on TikTok doesn't mean that ATEEZ wants to do more TikToks, right? They have to want to do those things, and we've seen that some of them like to do social media more than the others now that they all have their own Instagrams. Like, I know that social media was one of the big things that people always talked about as being mismanaged. They're mismanaged because their social media is bad. They should be doing this on TikTok. Well, these boys have the ability to make their own reels now. They can put whatever they want on social media, and there's no evidence that the choices that were being made for their social media were bad for them personally. Just because some 18s didn't like it or didn't think it was doing enough to make them big, the boys are happy with it. They're happy with the autonomy they have. They're happy with being able to post whenever, not being required to post, not being forced to do TikToks. Like, those are all things that can be considered nice.
I would really like someone to present to me some irrefutable evidence that blowing up on TikTok actually works out in the long run. Because I'm thinking, okay, what was the last song that we know of that really blew up on TikTok?
That Cupid song.
And look what's happened to that group. They're split up. One girl is still with the old company. The new girls are trying to create a new group. The fandom is divided because some of them are with one, the company. Some of them are with the other girls. Everybody's got like a different narrative of what actually went down. I have no idea, so I'm not even going to speak on it. But TikTok virality is only going to take you so far. I'm also thinking about Brave Girls. I was thinking about Roland the other day, about how Roland just blew up out of nowhere, and then they got all this surge of popularity. And where are they now? They left the company. I don't think they've done anything. You know, mm-hmm. maybe they're still doing great in Korea, but I haven't heard anything from them.
No.
So virality, like, yeah, you're going to get your quick little boost, but that's not going to take you very far.
The amount of effort it takes to be super active on social media is high, and the reward is low, unless your job, your whole job, is social media influencer. Mm-hmm. In which case, then you're making money off of those videos. But that is not ATEEZ's whole job. It's not even a 10% of their job, right? Like, their job is singing, making music, dancing, performing. Like, that is their job. Mm-hmm. And that, all of the evidence suggests that that is what they love to do.
Right. I do also find it interesting how many people swore up and down that the boys would get all of these opportunities and brand deals and stuff as soon as they got their Instagrams up and running.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing we've talked about too, is that KQ always listens to ATEEZ for better or worse. Mm-hmm. For better or worse, they listened to ATEEZ. ATEEZ wanted this and they made it happen. It seems like the boys also enjoy having their own, even though some of them rarely post, right? Like, and I do think that they have managers that are telling them, hey, it's been a while since you posted, you need to put something up there. Mm-hmm. Like, I still think they're being forced to do it, especially when they have a big thing, like when they've done a performance. Mm-hmm. Or because we saw a lot of posts after that Summer Sonic, half of them who hadn't been online in days, mm-hmm. weeks maybe, came on with a new picture, and it was like, I don't know, I don't think some of them are that interested in maintaining it. I think some of them are very interested, but I wouldn't say that for all of them.
I feel like even with the people who are interested, it's sort of a kind of comes and goes based on whims, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I think that's great. I think that's how your social media is supposed to be. It's supposed to be entirely based on your whims. And
especially when your job is not influencer.
Which, once again, reminder, ATEEZ's job is not being an influencer, as much as some ATEEZ's seem to want that to be their job.
Unrelated point about the other thing that ATEEZ's complain about a lot, which is their schedules. Mm. And it goes back to ATEEZ's job is to perform. They love to perform. They've talked before. I think it might even be in that same article. Hongjoong maybe says, we told our boss that we want any stage that will have us.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if it was Hongjoong. I don't remember what article it was, but all of them have said some version of that before. Whatever stage will have us, that's the stage that we want to be on. Mm-hmm. Which I think is a really great attitude. And I know ATEEZ's are always so worried about ATEEZ's schedule, but this goes back to what we said in our Field of Dreams episode. I believe that we need to allow these grown men to determine if their schedule is too much. Mm-hmm. There was a lot said about Son after Summer Sonic, and yeah, he did look really tired. He looked pretty bad, and it was hard to watch, but that doesn't mean that there's a history of mismanagement. Mm-hmm. It means that it was hotter than he expected that day. I think one of them came on later and said that it was like very hot because there wasn't any shade.
Mm-hmm. That was Hongjoong, because he said the one in, I think, wherever the other one was,
Osaka was hot.
That was the hot one.
And then they said the other one was better.
Because it was in like, it had like a cover or something. I get frustrated with the Let Them Rest crowd because they're so out of touch with reality, because they'll say things like, I want them to have a 3-month vacation. Wouldn't we all love to have a 3-month vacation?
Yeah, but what, like, profession gives that?
I mean, I get 2 months because I'm a teacher, but I also get paid. Like, I don't work for 2 months out of the year. And the thing is that if ATEEZ aren't working, they aren't making money.
Correct.
And again, it goes back to the small company thing. They don't have the luxury of being able to just drop off the face of the earth for months
at a
time.
That's what I was gonna say too. Like, ATEEZ's want them to be the biggest group in the world. They can't rest if they want to do that, unfortunately.
Like, and I feel like a lot of ATEEZ's expect that if they are on vacation, that they'll be doing lives all the time.
Oh yeah.
They'll just be so accessible. And it's, no, they're gonna be properly on vacation, and they're not they're not gonna talk
with
to you.
Their actual friends,
right?
And family, and doing things that they want to do. Like, a vacation also means no fan meets, no fan calls, no getting on from and updating you mm-hmm. about their day, because those are all parts of ATEEZ's job.
I mean, listen, if KQ announced like, hey, I think I remember BTS doing this once. They were going on like a 2-month vacation or something like that. Mm-hmm. And like they were just saying like, hey, if you see them, please just leave them alone and all of this stuff. If KQ suddenly announced, you know what, we're putting ATEEZ on a 2-month hiatus, you know, we're just going to let them take a break, I'd be like, great. That's so good for them. KQ, mm-hmm. don't you dare try to sell me merch during this time. How about I also get a vacation?
My wallet.
Like, please. I would be so fine with that. Mm-hmm. But also, I fully understand there is a reason why they have to hustle and keep going, and a reason why they want to go to every stage and mm-hmm. pursue every opportunity. And mm-hmm. that is because they are not guaranteed anything. Even now, with the success that they have, they're not mm-hmm. guaranteed a career in the future the mm-hmm. way that you would be if you were from a big company. It is what it is. Like, if we want to play the small company card and they're a miracle and all of that, we also have to accept the reality of the small company card.
The other thing, you sent me a tweet today where someone was talking about how, oh, San looks so much better. It just makes me so happy to see him so happy hanging out with ATEENY. San was working today too. He wasn't mm-hmm. off. He was at a fan meet working.
Yeah.
And the Summer Sonic where he looked bad was 3 days ago. Mm-hmm. Like, he hasn't had a break between those things. So he doesn't look more rested just because he's at a fan meet instead of a show. That's still him working. He has not had time off yet. And like, I'm glad that he looks better, but I truly believe that he looked bad because it was very hot outside and he was used to performing indoors in the United States. And
it's
then they
just
went there.
Different temperature is all. Right. That's it. There's air conditioning in one photo and no air conditioning in the other photo. There's mm-hmm. your difference. Which, that's not to say, like, I don't, you know, obviously I don't like that he had a rough performance or that he felt uncomfortable. I told you I felt like they all looked like they were kind of struggling.
Even Dungho said that he had like a cold and was mm-hmm. having to sing through it. And that's, I too think that, yeah, going to that after your North American tour, that was a lot. Mm-hmm. That is a really tight schedule. I am not surprised that any of them are struggling, but I don't think it's my place to tell ATEEZ that they can't take their schedules. And I don't think it's the company's either. Like, if ATEEZ themselves wants to do it, I don't think the company should be stepping in unless it's truly dangerous. And I don't think this is dangerous, just misguided.
Plus, Summer Sonic is just a big opportunity for them, and they've clearly yeah. been trying to amp up their Japanese promotions lately.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good idea, because the Japanese fan base can be very loyal, and that's an excellent mm-hmm. market to get into. So I don't fault them for, I think it's just a yeah. misfortune. It's just misfortunate timing. Misfortunate?
Unfortunate.
Sure. It's unfortunate timing. They couldn't really move the North American tour. Right. It was pretty clear that there were scheduling issues. Duluth, Peso Pluma, I will never forgive you. Also AJR, we will never forgive them either, even though Yuno seems to have. But I just feel like this was an opportunity that was too good for them to pass up.
I agree.
A lot of people pointed out that their Spotify followers have really jumped up since Summer Sonic, and I think that that's good news.
And I noticed that no one's complaining about how they should have a 1-month break now that Waterbomb is announced and it's going to be in 1 month. And it's weird how these schedules aren't too packed when they're here in America. But as soon as they are in Korea or Japan, then they need to slow down. I just think that's weird. I'm not saying anything about it. I just think it's weird.
There have been a lot of complaints about them going to LA yet again, but that's where the show is. This is not ATEEZ's plan. ATEEZ didn't plan Waterbomb. They just got invited to it.
Waterbomb's not a K-pop show, and they haven't announced any like really large K-pop acts except for ATEEZ. Mm-hmm. And now ATEEZ are like upset about it because they're like, well, there's no one else I want to see it. It's like, yeah, well, that's not who the show was for.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a K-pop show. I don't you know, that's just because ATEEZ is gonna be there doesn't mean you'd like the vibe. That's why I didn't go to Coachella, right? Mm-hmm. I knew I wasn't gonna like the other vibe there. So and that's why part of the reason I won't go to Waterbomb. Did we have anything else to say about, did we even say anything about this? They like KQ.
Yeah, that was our thesis for that part is that actually ATEEZ does like KQ, and they don't hate them, and they don't, you know, feel trapped by them and all of that. And so all the KQ haters.
Another thing. Sorry. I just want to say we already knew all this too. Like Hongjoong has cried over the staff before. They're always thanking the staff. All of this is well known that they're so appreciative for what the staff does to them, including the stylist. You sent me a tweet the other day where they're like, who's been styling him lately? And it's like the same person that always does.
I know. I follow her on Instagram.
I saw someone reply that was like, I bet ATEEZ is choosing their own outfits more now. And it's like, they've always had a say in their own outfits. The only thing that might be different is that ATEEZ is growing and maturing, so their taste might grow and mature. That might be different, but they've always had a say. They've told us that, which is another example of them not being mismanaged. But anyways.
I think one thing that a lot of people don't seem to understand is that also a lot of the clothes that ATEEZ wears aren't ATEEZ's clothes. They belong to the stylist, and the stylist picks will present them with a lot of options and say, okay, these are all things that fit the vibe. And then maybe they get to shop from the vibe. But this isn't, you know, if Hongjoong, or for Mingi, for instance, so the pants that Mingi wore for, I think it was the first water bomb. It could have been the second. I don't really know. But the original style of the pants was they were connected to a thong that...
The first Summer Sonic.
Right, for Summer Sonic, that kind of showed up above the waistline of the pants. And the stylist had obviously removed the thong part because that, I don't think that thongs are Mingi's vibes. Sorry to everyone. I guess, but people...
Well, maybe he'll prove you wrong one day.
Maybe so. We'll see. Fingers crossed. But a lot of people were talking about, like, oh, Mingi really likes this brand. No, he just picked those pants because the stylist had them. That's what happened. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily Mingi's pants. So, like, yeah, maybe he probably had a part in picking them, but this isn't like, you know, Mingi's going to take these pants home and wear them just for fun. So yeah, so these are things that we already knew. Like, we already knew ATEEZ liked KQ. We already knew they appreciated their stylists. We already knew that they appreciated their managers. You know, I've always felt pretty confident that they were going to re-sign with KQ, even when everybody was crying for them to leave.
It had never been a doubt in my mind, if I'm honest. Like, I never even considered it.
I know. Like, I just couldn't, I couldn't fathom. I was like, where else would they go? Like, who's going to take all eight of them at the same time? They're not going to go to a smaller company, and a smaller company is really their only option. Like I said, no bigger companies are going to take them because bigger companies are stupid.
We know that also that, like, at least half of them call their CEO dad. Like, so hard to imagine them stepping out on him. I don't think all of them do, maybe, but I mean, it's clear that Ooyoung, Hongjoong, I think Yoonho.
Yeah.
Or maybe Son. Like, it's clear that several of them are very close to him. Mm-hmm. And in addition, KQ also employs Eden, who is, according to Hongjoong, one of his closest friends.
Yes.
That was the other really big news for me, known Eden stan that I am. There was a second article that came out maybe the day after the GQ article on Stylecaster, which is a pretty good article about Hongjoong's take on fashion. So it's mostly a fashion. The article is pretty good. The information is good. That website is a hot mess. You cannot open it without just tons of ads crashing it. I had it pulled up on my phone, but then ads kept coming up on it until it crashed. And so I don't have it anymore, so I cannot read the quote. But he was asked this question about writing with a team and song producing. Mm-hmm. And he said that they work with Edenary, and the head of Edenary is Eden, who is one of his closest friends because they grew up together. There are two things in there that are of a lot of interest to me. One, that he's considers Eden one of his closest friends. Mm-hmm. The fact that Eden is one of his closest friends, and I've talked about this with Cassandra before, I think it's probably very hard for them to have friends because you just don't know who you can trust. We know that their information gets sold to people, things like their flights, their phone numbers, their IDs and stuff. Like, we know that that information gets sold, and it has to be someone who knows that information. information. Like, we know their schedules get sold. Mm-hmm. The people that are close to them, it's hard to trust. So it's not surprising to me that one of his closest friends is someone who also works at the company and who has been there with him. And, you know, he spends a lot of time with in the producing room. The part that I thought was really interesting, though, is that he said, "We grew up together." Mm-hmm. Because one of the narratives about Eden, and I guess we'll probably save a lot of this for our Eden episode, so yeah. I'll only touch on it. But one of the narratives about Eden is that he was a grown man when he met Hong Jung and forced him to do all of this horrible stuff. And he mm-hmm. was so mean to Hong Jung. And with his big age, he should have known better. As a 30-year-old person, I can tell you that I didn't know anything in my 20s. And I made like a ton of mistakes that I would love to go back and do better. I just think that the narrative of him being old and should have treated Hong Jung better is wrong for a lot of reasons.
I have the article pulled up. It took forever because, and I would like to point this out, the article, they're trying to play a TXT video, and it took forever for the TXT video to upload, and there's no way for me to close the TXT video, so it's just playing in the corner. I just would like to point that out. He says, "I met him 10 years ago in our company, and we grew up together." So, here we are in 2024. So, Hong Jun joined the company then in 2014, which means that around the time that Hong Jun met Eden, he would have been like 26 or 27, depending on like what time in the year, because we know that Eden's birthday famously is in July.
10 years, wow. But I think it's interesting that Hong Jun says, "We grew up together." Like, we learned how to be in this business together. We became the people we are now together. And that also shows that he doesn't consider, I mean, he probably still does look up to Eden, but it doesn't sound like he considers him his teacher anymore. Their relationship is past that. So all of the stuff that happened those 10 years ago, that's 10 years ago. That's so, because the story that is famously shared, the example of how terrible of a person Eden is, happened on his first day of meeting Hong Jung 10 years ago. There's a whole 10 years of history between them. I was really pleased that this came out. Not that the Eden haters even glanced at this line, right? Like, I haven't seen hardly anyone talking about this part, but I still think it's good PR for KQ because Eden is also their artist. And Eden is responsible for Ateez's music in a meaningful way.
One thing that I did appreciate about what Hong Jun said in that article was he talked about the collaborative spirit that they work together. And it's, so it's not this idea of Eden's just writing songs and throwing them at ATs and like, here, do this, that they are working collaboratively. Like, if there's a team effort, and that Hong Jung is very much part of how their songs get made and put together. And I just would like to remind everyone of that, that he's part of the process.
I would also point to see that collaborative spirit. Maddox had a very good docs log where they go on this kind of like artist retreat where they work on songs together. They called it Song Camp.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a really fascinating look into how these people come together to make music.
I mean, it's also, it speaks to their desire to improve. Because, I mean, even Eden was there. Eden is their executive producer. Like, he, he's been in this game for years. He had a career before ATEEZ. He's worked with huge names. He's worked with B2B. He's worked with RM. So he worked with big names before ATEEZ was even a thing, but he's still flying across the world to go to this song camp and just to practice making music, to work with different people. And I think that spirit of wanting to improve, of always wanting to grow, of always wanting to learn is indicative of the type of person who can face up to things that they have, mistakes that they've made, and recognize areas where they still need to grow and develop.
It's also indicative of a company that values that. Mm-hmm. Like, up back to KQ, that Aties is like this, that Eden is like this, that mm-hmm. Maddox is like this. This is a company who is fostering people who have that KQ spirit, who have that drive to learn, to do better, to grow as mm-hmm. people and artists.
It's like they understand that for them to get big, for them to continue to, it's like that article that we just had with Daddy Sean that not a lot of people talked about, but, you know, he said, we will work, you know, if you're going to grow, you have to work harder than everybody else. And he seems to understand that you put money not into the frills and not into playlisting and not into mm-hmm. these temporary superficial things. You invest in your foundations, and your foundation mm-hmm. is on your talent and, mm-hmm. you know, growing those skills that will translate into stronger, more powerful artistry on the part of everybody in the company, not just your group, but also your producers as well. That is an attitude that I appreciate.
I was just thinking about the stories that we know about how Hong Jun got hired at KQ mm-hmm. and he repeats it in some of these articles. You can teach skills, mm-hmm. but having a person who wants to learn mm. and wants to grow, that's not something you can teach easily.
No.
You're starting there. That is the foundation. You can teach all the skills, mm-hmm. but you have to have a person with drive, a sense of artistry. And I think that is one of the reasons that they fit in so well at KQ, including Eden, including Maddox. They have this spirit.
Just by the way, Baby's Corner, KQ did finally release a statement about Jungwoon, indicated that he has continued to experience some pain and dizziness when he is mm-hmm. standing. Also seemed to imply that he's had multiple surgeries, not just the one.
Yes.
And also seemed to, which the problem was that they hadn't said, in, you know, the babies are having a comeback. If you're not paying attention, Zykers has a comeback coming up in September. And they had started dropping comeback announcements and promo and mm-hmm. hadn't yet announced whether or not Jungwoon was going to be part of it, and mm-hmm. Rhodey's sort of figured out that he wasn't going to be there because they looked at the templates for the PC templates for the mm-hmm. albums, and there are only mm-hmm. 9 PCs. Then finally KQ dropped a statement just saying, you know, Jungwoon's not going to be part of it and he is continuing to rest and heal, and they are looking for the long term is what they seem mm-hmm. to imply, that this, you know, we could throw him up there and, you know, have him perform seated, but we want him thoroughly recovered before he is working again, which is tough as a roadie. Mm-hmm. You know, you want him to be all OT10, but
I think I texted you, like, I didn't feel I was owed Jung-hoon's medical information, obviously. Mm-hmm. I even, you know, didn't feel like KQ owed me a statement. They said he was on hiatus. He's not on hiatus. He's still on a hiatus. There is no change. They don't owe me a statement. However, I thought that PR-wise, mm-hmm. they did need to release one because it had been so long. And it was so, there were so many things that could be speculated about.
Because mm-hmm. he had been
delaying,
like,
one
at the company. Mm-hmm. He's
done birthday lives yeah. every birthday.
We know that he's been in the dorms. We know he's been hanging out mm-hmm. with the other boys. We just mm-hmm. didn't know, like, what his status was. Like, is he going to be mm-hmm. there? Is, like, what's happening? It's sad that it is a more serious injury than I think anyone anticipated.
Yes.
But at the same time, I do think it is wise on KQ's part to treat it very, very conservatively and not try to push for him to rejoin the group and risk potentially harming him further, either physically or mentally, emotionally.
Right. That he's having the type of pain that results in, like, dizziness mm-hmm. is a concern to me after so many surgeries. I'm not going to speculate on, like, what those surgeries were or whatever, mm-hmm. but there was a lot of information they released in this new PR release where I was like, oh, okay. So this injury is very serious. I thought he had a bad injury. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize realize that it was serious of this nature. And so now it's like, oh, okay, well, he'll continue to be gone, but like they are taking care of him. Because mm-hmm. I think it was easy to feel like maybe they weren't taking care of him.
Right. Well, I mean, well, if you don't know anything yeah. that's happening, it's easy to speculate. And people do mm-hmm. like to think the worst of companies. Mm-hmm. I tend to give KQ the benefit of the doubt whenever I can.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
Simply because they have shown over and over and over mm-hmm. and over again that they are trying. They are not perfect. I know that you can't say mm-hmm. anything about KQ without reminding everyone that you know that they're not perfect. This is me right. reminding everyone, I know they're not perfect. I have my own right. beefs with them, right. but they really do try. They are trying mm-hmm. to be good to their artists. They are trying to be good to their fandoms. Mm-hmm. They don't always do it, but they do always try. And I guess I can be grateful for that in spite right. of everything else.
So congratulations, KQ, on your very good couple of days there with your good PR. Yeah. I hope that you have won over at least one heart. Mm. You already had mine, but I hope someone is like, oh, maybe they're not as bad as I thought.
Thanks for joining us for this mini episode. You can catch our full episodes on Wednesdays. If you enjoy this mini conversation, please subscribe to the podcast. You can connect with us at oldontini@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Holochat Podcast, or read more from our blog at ontini.com. We'll see you soon. Be the light.